A meeting of this sort is a real challenge to all of us to try to utilize the time the most profitably. And I suppose there's several ways we could go about this. I was telling the fellows in my discussion group this morning about an incident I read in which some scientist back in some of the out-of-way places had found a very primitive tribe which had their version of after-dinner speaking. But it differed in just one respect from the conventional after-dinner speaking, and that was the speaker had to stand on one foot so he could talk as long as he wanted to, as long as that other foot didn't touch the ground. But the minute it hit, he was finished. So that's one way that we could do it, isn't it? But we do want as wide a participation as we can get, and so I'm going to tell you in just a minute how I think the best way to do this is. I would like to make a suggestion before that we start, and that is that there have been some very generous things said about the navigators, and we appreciate that. And some of those who had to leave early expressed their feelings in the behalf of all of you. So tonight, we do not think this is necessary to repeat anything that's been said. If we can just give it a little bit higher priority, we'll consider that that's all been said. For a verse of Scripture as a theme to this meeting, and this is going to be a difficult one to record. In fact, I don't think it can be done with you folks back there. But I was thinking about Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And so tonight, as you're speaking, our recording machinery won't be able to pick it up, but there is a record being made. Berkeley says a memorandum record written up in heaven of the things that you say. And who knows, maybe we can set aside a night sometime over there in eternity to all of us get together, and we'll ask that this record be brought out and read so we can relive this meeting. So remember that it's not being recorded down here, but it is being recorded up there. In order to make the best use of the time, I don't want to do anything except just stand up here and smile. So I'm going to suggest that we try to organize that which is upon our heart to say, and try to keep it between 1 and 2 minutes. And in order to conserve time, we're just going to start here in a minute, and somebody stand up, and then somebody else stand up before that this person is finished. And it's all right to have a half a dozen standing at once, and just as soon as one is finished, you'll be seated, and then the next one can go on without any urging or comments. And I would like to say that we desire that the ladies participate fully in these things, so we don't want all the men to stand up first. Now, if you have an arrangement in your household whereby that the lady of the house is not permitted to speak, we're not going to try to interfere with your happy household. And so, husbands, you just give the sign and counteract what I've just said, and we'll keep in harmony on this. But I'm sure that there are things which the Lord has put in your heart that you want to express tonight, and this is being recorded. So we're anxious to hear what you have to say. So we'll two or three of you that has a one minute or 1.5 word for us, stand up right now, and then as some of you sit down, somebody else stand up, and I'll just stand up here and smile until I think that it's time for Lauren to speak. Since breakfast has been announced for 6:30, we'll just see how the meeting goes before we call him up. Okay? Now, two or three more stand up here at the same time so we won't have any interruption, and I won't say another word. Okay? Anybody else? Now, you see, we're going to waste a lot of time with me talking if there's not somebody else. I'd like to get somebody else on their feet before you start so we can keep going here. All right, now, the minute that this lady sits down, somebody else better pop up here, or I'm going to be talking all the time. That's not good.
As I look back on the circumstances that brought it to the center, we also said that the Lord does wear our past, but certainly this has been his principle for a lot of eternity. And I've been acquainted with some things that I have never heard of, as far as that view, to be shy and mature. But I think the Lord has moved in my heart as a wife and a mother that my priority is to be rearranged somewhat, and my prayer is that as we go back to our work, that first thing we will do is in our life.
The inspiration of the environment, the physical environment, and the trainees, the leaders, and fellow conferees has been very, very great. As I go back, I want to get into the Word more for myself. I want to pray more. I want to be more alert on the man-to-man ministry. Thank the Lord for the very practical things that have been given here. Jim gave us the technique for winning souls to Christ. I had to go down to get my ticket this afternoon, and when I parked, the youngster said, "You want to shine, sir?" And I said, "No, thanks." But I talked to him about the Lord and gave him the technique. And I said, "You settle this thing while I'm away. I'll be back shortly." And I got my ticket and came back. And I said, "Did you ask the Lord Jesus into your heart?" And he said, "Yes, I did." So there's some follow-up work.
I remember when Will and Nora came to our college and spoke to us about 2 years ago, and I made a statement. I hoped one day that I would get to go near it. And it's time to come through. But at the same time, I can hardly believe it. And I just pray that what the Lord has shown me here, that I might give me a man, and that with that man might win another, and that man might win another. And I want you to pray for me that I will be the kind of minister that I won't do more for God, but that God might do more through me. Because sometimes I think we want to do more for God at the time, but we forget that we need to let God do more through us.
1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him." As I came to the conference, I'm sure I didn't know what the Lord had prepared for me here. I was glad to get away from home. And to have time to sit in the service and listen to the singing and participate in the singing. And not always had to be giving, but I think I came partly through those things that I didn't realize how much the Lord had prepared for me here, and I'm thankful for it.
When we got in the car, we got a scripture in Ephesians 3:20. "Not that you be able to exceed abundantly of all we can think or ask according to the power of the Word within us." We said we claim it. And we drove up the road, not knowing what we were going to see. When we saw it, I told my wife, "This is already part of it." Then we were sitting together out here meditating, and she looked up from the mountain and she said, "You know, death doesn't seem unreal here, does it?" And I thought a moment, And I thought, well, no. And then she said, there doesn't seem to be any fear in death here either, does there? And I thought, this is dwelling in Christ. Death is not unreal. It'll come to all of us. And there's no fear in it. As you just said, someday we'll listen to the record or read it. They might have gone modern up there and have it recorded. But either way, I thank the Lord for this fellowship.
Good.
We were here for about 15 minutes to half an hour when, as we were fellowshipping around the table, someone used or quoted the verse, 3 John 4. I think I looked kind of blank because I didn't know what 3 John 4 was, and I hadn't really read 3 John for quite a while. I believe, and they quoted the verse to me, and it was a blessing. But I was challenged by it, and it just spoke to my heart. I thought, I've got to get into that. And that afternoon, we didn't have too much to do, so I went home and I made a little study of 3 John. And these two verses were a real blessing to me, and I really feel that this is what I want for my life as I think of all the things that have come into my notebook and into my head and into my heart. The verse that was quoted is, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The next verse is, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And that's really the prayer of my life, that I might be faithful to the things that the Lord has put in my heart and that I might grow in Him.
Well, I've been acquainted with that word, not directly, but through my brother. He's been telling me how to get acquainted with this business and get started on it. I'm not as slow as far. I'm a real skeptical kind, but I come here, he paid my way to this conference. I come here and I've been sold on the principles, and I hope that the Lord used me to do this in man and follow this ministry. But I believe it's the thing that's been missing. I've been missing. And I hope the Lord used me to put it in practice.
I've been thinking all week just what I might say in case this opportunity would come, and now I've forgotten all of it. But there are a few things that I have been thinking about because they have deeply impressed me. Some of you now, this is already an old story, because I've told it several times to individuals who have been interested. Hungering and seeking for God's will, I thought that I would go to take a leave of absence and use a week of time that I could otherwise use to earn some money in the evangelistic services. I went to Chicago instead to the Congress of World Missions, and there heard a great deal of what I feel spirit-filled preaching. I was inspired and challenged, filled with these things. I stayed at the Moody Bible Institute, Norton Hall, Men's Hall, and went down to the bookstore about Thursday of the week, picked up a copy of Born to Reproduce. I picked up the copy, leafed through a couple pages, and thought to myself, well, this sounds like something that I ought to look into. So I purchased it for a dime and took it home with me then, and it lay on my desk for several days, and then I picked it up and read it. And I couldn't lay it down. I kept hold of it until the last page. I gave it to my wife. She just started in it, but she couldn't lay it down either. And immediately, I think the same evening, I wrote to Dr. Kapp, because he's the one who compiled the information, seeking more information about the man whom we've heard so much about, and whose picture is up on the wall there, Dawes Trotman. Well, he couldn't give me any help, so I wrote. So he gave me the address of Glen Erie here, and I wrote here, received through several several letters, information. In fact, I asked for everything that they would give, and I know they didn't give everything, but I received enough that informed me. And through this time, I've resolved in my heart that this is the thing that has been missing in my ministry. That's why I told Lauren this evening, six or seven conferences, I counted them up this evening, there were 10. Last year and a half. 10 different, the National Sunday School Conventions, Columbus, Ohio, and St. Louis, and it took a great deal of money to go to these places, looking and searching for something, and other conferences. But this, I think, has pinpointed it for me. This is it. And this is only an inspiration this week. Now, I've forgotten again. Well, better sit down. I want to praise the Lord for this, though, because this has really meant something to me. And I feel that though I didn't gain too much in Chicago in December, I did gain Born to Reproduce.
As we told different people that we were planning to come here, as part of our vacation, they said, oh no, I'd rather do anything, go to a conference on vacation. But frankly, I feel we've really been blessed, spiritually renewed, and the Lord has really worked in our hearts while we're here. As I go back to work at the church in California, I feel two or three things that definitely. One is that I'm going to more jealously guard time that I've already set aside for my own personal life, and I think this needs strengthening and to watch it a little more closely. And also, I feel that the man-to-man work is very important, and certainly much prayer. And I have been already in mind that perhaps when I'm God's man, I want to pray about them, and I feel this is very important and want to get back and get into it right away.
You see, here we're losing all this time. Jim, you have a song ready. When it's too long a lag here, we'll sing a song and turn it over to Lauren. So let's get some more people on your feet. We're going to talk here. Please.
Jim, I feel it's God. I was privileged to be here a day and a half last February when the pastor's conference sponsored, well, with the help at least of the male Macy of NAE. And I got just enough to really whet my appetite. And I went home and told my wife that they were having a pastor's conference and we were going to do everything we could to be there. One of the things that has impressed me of the time we spent here, the time that I was here before, was the dedication of the lives of the men that work here. And the thing that has blessed me is that I feel we have been able to share this in the nature with some of the secret of the spiritual power that I feel God has given through His Word and through study of it, memorization of it. And it's been a challenge to me to go back and seek to draw on God for what I believe He can provide. I have also felt that almost 10 years that I've spent now in ministry have been largely wasted because I haven't really found this secret of a strong devotional life myself and really taking advantage of my time and really training men to follow God. And I pray that my personal life and my ministry will be transformed through God's grace.
I thank the Lord for the many blessings which I have received here the last 7 days I've been here. I can't enumerate it all, but two I'd like to thank the Lord for. One is the challenge I have received for the TMS topical memory system. My wife can scrape up $3 and we'll get into that. And then the second blessing and challenge to my heart is the principle of man-to-man. I have felt dissatisfied with the program of the church, and as I have heard discussions on man-to-man, I feel that this is the Lord that had for me. And I anticipate and look forward to a time together with Bill Johnson, who has been using man-to-man, I think, for 4 years. And he will be counseling with me when we get back home in September. So I certainly look forward to that. And I would request that you pray for me. I know that it will take patience. Sometimes we expect to go back and see things happen overnight. But as I think through man-to-man, it will take patience and time, but it will pay dividends in the end. And I thank you for that principle.
I've received a challenge through this ABC Bible study that we've done. It has one special challenge was that when Paul, Timothy, and Silas went to Thessalonica, Paul tells them that they shared not only the gospel with them, but their very souls. They had a message to share, but they had a life to share also. I got a new thought from that. I've been doing a lot of activity. I've been sharing my energy and my time and so on with activity, but I haven't really been just giving my life to certain ones that can use it. And pray for me that I will be much more unselfish in sharing my life with others.
I want to praise the Lord tonight for, first of all, bringing Chuck Ferrett to the Conservative Baptist Seminary in Denver last May, and allowing me to be there too, and thus bringing it about that I should come to the conference. There are many challenges and blessings that I've received in having been here. I suppose that the most needed one, along, of course, with the insight into the real need for a development of a better devotional life, use of the principle man-to-man. To me personally, the most needed personal challenge was one in the area of discipline. And this is something that I want to give my attention to when I return home. And I suppose just to put it in plain words, a matter of giving up in the morning. And I just would ask you all to pray for me. This would be a spiritual battle. And pray for me that I'll be able to carry out my determination to honor the Lord in my life just by giving up to me early in the morning.
I thank the Lord and appreciate, I believe, from this conference, two things. First of all, the exaltation of God's Word, and that being alone the answer to our problems. And then, not going away from the conference frustrated. In other words, you're challenged, and then I go away, I see my mistakes, I'm so frustrated, but I've got, I believe, a place to start. I believe I know the first step. That's put my own life in line and win a convert and go on from there. I think one of the things that has been hold of my life along this week is this matter of discipline in Christian life. It's a thing that has not only been talked about here, it is a thing that has been lived as well. So we have to go home and have a big letdown and not only practice these things that we've learned. And it is my prayer and desire that this matter of Christian discipline might be a reality, that there might be a Lord in this matter. By using the time that God has given me in a way that will be pleasing to Him each minute of the day.
I think perhaps not all of you can see whether somebody else is standing or not, so I think I'll do like this. As long as we want somebody to stand, I'll hold my hand up, and that means we need some more. And when my hand is down, why, then we don't need any more. So how that? So we need some more on both sides here.
This has certainly been a challenge to my heart. The Lord has touched my heart. I need a real boost from Him. He's given it to me. And a lot of questions have been answered for me. I feel like I can go back with some ways of approach that the Lord can honor. I also feel, like this other brother here, that I've been impressed with the fact that the Word is the answer. And I want to learn to use it better.
My husband came back from
the
conference in February. He talked for about a week of nothing but the conference. And I had high expectations. But it took me about 2 days to get my feet on the ground after I'd been here. It was so beautiful. But the spiritual lesson that I have received has far exceeded that of the physical. It's been something that I'm sure I shall never be the same because of the life of a pastor brings you to a lot of conferences, but as we were talking in our meeting, in our particular group, so many of our questions and our problems were even answered before we had time to ask them. We had them written down, but they were met. And I have never been to a conference where I felt that our real problems and our basic needs were right in the program and something that we could really use. I really appreciated it. I'm glad that I was privileged to be in on the Pastors and Wives conference this year. As we look back in our lives just the past few weeks, we can see how wonderful and mysterious it is that the Lord leads us. As I look back and see that we never dreamed, we never even knew of a place like this, much less the navigators. And I can say that the Lord has placed it in our hearts to go back a different route. And it's kind of crazy with the home in Dallas as we go on to our home south of Fort Worth. But I will stay on the promise, bless the Lord, and my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the soul in me for bringing us here and being able to teach us and keep our hearts open for His will and His work.
About a year and a half ago, I spoke on the Brother Light program over at WMBI, and when I finished, there was a went out of the studio, and when I spoke, I remember that I used the hand, the way to grasp the Word of God, and I had quoted a number of verses from the topic of memory system in that message. And when I went out of the studio door, there was a great big fellow waiting at the studio door, like some of these big fellows around here, and he stuck his paw out and said, "Are you the fellow that was speaking over the radio? I heard the radio in my room." I said, "Yes." He said, "When do we get the grant?" I said, "Well, I've never been there." He said, "Oh." "Well, I like the meeting now." I've been there. I thank God for the privilege of working with men, but something happened to me out of our second lesson in Thessalonians. I think I know the techniques, you see, because I had a good teacher. But just six words out of the sixth verse of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2, gave me an answer to something that I knew was wrong but wouldn't do it with. It's a matter of a, I know that all of us as pastors don't pray enough, but I was very poverty stricken in my prayer life. Even though I was acquainted with the principles and so forth. But this one verse spoke to me. Nor a man of this sought we grow. And I prayed last instead of first. Because I did first those things which men I did first those things which for which men would give me honor, rather than to seek that honor which cometh from God alone. This sin has been confessed, and trust is in the Lord to be evicted over that attitude. Poor prayer condition. Just one thing, I don't even think I need to say it. But you can know, you can have the techniques, you can have the notes, you can have the fillers in the notebook. And we can simply go to God. I thank God for the confidence and for the Lord has done for me too.
I've been inspired, blessed, and challenged here. I've been inspired and blessed before. But I feel that this, I do not dare yet start this matter woman to woman until I'm ready. I'm not ready yet. And trust God that He will, with His patience, prepare me and study His Word to be ready to work with the Lord. Amen.
I came to know the Lord in the Air Force when I was 22. And it was an atmosphere of a group that emphasized motion and rather strongly and other things like that. So it wasn't until 4 years that I came in contact with the NAVs out in California. And through my contact with them, I think I received my greatest help up to that time. I had come into a group where there was an emphasis on expository preaching, and that helped me a lot too. But as we all have personal problems in our life, I think the greatest thing that helped me in my life was this matter of the hiding the Word in the heart and getting the Word and the other principles that are emphasized. And this impresses me more and more. I came to Pastor's Conference in 56, and then I was at a few other conferences, and I really counted myself privileged at the time and have since then. And when I received the Lebanon for 2 years and saw some of these things really put into practice over there, I was blessed by that. But one of the things that impresses me greatly is the fact that through this approach we expose ourselves to God, and He has access to our heart, and He can continually work in our lives to make us more like Christ. And it seems to do that more than anything else I know of. Preaching doesn't seem to really get at it, and so on. It's that this personal application to the life. I feel I need that a lot more. And as we go back to the Middle East now, I really am convinced that this is the answer is to reach men. Perhaps if we only reach two or three, and they really get this vision, well, we'll have had a ministry in 5 years' time. And so that's really on our heart to reach men and in the context of the church.
I want tonight to register praise for the wonderful grace of God that came into my life a number of years ago. I'm sure that all the wonderful blessings that we have shared in the day together have been because of Christ and His great love for us. I'm so glad tonight in my heart that I came to know Him in a very personal way. To me, He is the way, the truth, and the life. The personal knowledge of that truth in Christ has truly set me free. I love you tonight with all my heart, and I intend to go back to my church to give my people and my Lord all that I have to give. May God bless this work and pass it tonight to the church from leave in a convincing spirit to my heart, the fellowship of the men, and the inspiration and insight and direction of our leaders. For all these things, I praise our wonderful Lord tonight. Praise His name.
Several years ago, I read what Phil Graham said. If he were a pastor, he would gather around him about a dozen men, teach them, make them disciples, and help teach them to help him do his work. For years and years, I've been meeting Jesus' words in the gospel, His call and promise to the disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And Billy Graham's words and Jesus' words just made me sick because I wasn't doing just what Jesus had promised to do and what Billy Graham wanted to do. And it's been my prayer every time I read those words of Jesus that I would be a fisher of men. And I came here with an honest desire to learn how to be a fisher of men. And what Ken said, you go to conferences and you come away frustrated. And it's just about like what Chuck said last night. Some of these liberal psychologists can analyze the problem, but they can't solve it. And I think a lot of Bible conferences can talk about problems, but they don't know the pastors. And it's mighty gratifying to have some answers and to go back to the church with some know-how. And I just hope that we can do it.
Amen.
About 2 years ago, our life was shaken and really yard loose as a tall, bulky fellow went in the war, stood before us for 3 days, and he literally shook a Bible college to its foundation. But apparently, in the providence of the Lord, it was his will that he should draw away with and I together. And out of the student body of 100 and the church of about 400, I was the only fellow that really stuck on Wayland's back door and hounded him and even had him open for dinner, and that didn't kill him off. And I just tried to pump him, and he'd give a little bit just enough to keep me hungry. And he started working through tape recordings and letter writings, and over this period of 2 years, he has poured into my life that which has made his life. And so we knew as we came here that perhaps it would really be a time of review. This is just what it's been. It has clarified the vision again for us and sharpened it for us. Bill hit the nail on the head. This thing can get out of focus. You can work in it to such an extent that it gets. Well, I don't know how to explain it anyway. This week has really reorientated me in the vision. I've heard these brethren explain these different things, and they have put their own personality into it and explained it in a different way than Wayland has done. And this has given me some new insights. And so I think that I'm more rounded out now as I go back. But the Lord is doing a great work in Houston, where I've heard little rumors that maybe they'll get a NAD representative down there. I don't know, but you've got a place to sleep at our front room couch if you want to come there. Glad to really work with any work of that type. But the Lord is working, and the door is opening. We go be in the Kansas camp meeting all next week, and then and a week after that, in Alabama, and an Alabama camp meeting. This is our third camp meeting in 2 years. And these pastors, in our particular movement, are clamoring for something like this. And I'd like to kind of funnel some back in here for next year's pastors' conference.
So we better find out. May sleep on the couch of other people then. This is something like, this experience is something like the same here. It's mountain to us. Maine, our country is a rolling country. We don't have mountains like this. It's a real inspiration to be here in the Glen from the natural standpoint, but more so from the spiritual standpoint. Someone said they wish to go on another week. I rather feel that I counteract that statement in my own thinking, because I feel I'm ready to go home now. In the right sense, that you can get so much. The more you get, the more responsible. The better it is to take so much, and then use it is to get over it now. It bogged that. So I feel right now on my knees for the present. If I can work some of that out, maybe someday I'll get back for more. I doubt that. Anyhow, this has been a great experience for me, and to meet the pastors, the room, some of the fellows have different ideas, different theology, and yet have wonderful fellowship in the Lord. And I praise the Lord for personal salvation. I'm not a pastor because I chose to be in the sense of profession, because the Lord called me, because I answered the call. I wouldn't want to be anything else for that reason. And I feel that as we go back tomorrow, the Lord spares us, because we'll be 500 miles away, and as I sit by my desk, a long ways from here, there are going to be things in this conference that are going to help me in my own quiet time in my service with the Lord.
Lord, for the privilege of being here. I just told my husband, well, I wouldn't say anything. I'd rather listen to Brother Sammy talk, but I did want to give my testimony. I think so many times the wives are at home, how the husband goes off and sees the new vision, and I feel sure that I will be more of an encouragement to him since I have received it along with him. I am certain that the Lord has led us here to fill a particular need in our life. We have been praying that a spiritual need would be met for us, and we hope that God has led us here to help us at this time in our lives. And we love Him, and we're so thankful for His goodness and kindness to us.
I've been impressed in our Bible study of the genuine love that the Apostle Paul had for the Christian of Thessalonica. It certainly appears over and over again in his letters. And I read them today that his prayer was that they might increase the bounds and love one toward another for all that evil is we do toward you. My prayer is that my people will see a genuine, they'll feel and know and see a real love that I have in my heart for each one of them.
Well, I've received a great blessing and challenge from this conference this week, and I've seen my own personal need for getting into the Word, and this letter of reproducing my role in TMS, and I pray with God's help that I might be able to reproduce it. And I've gained so much from my discussion group with my own.
I'm watching the clock, whether anybody else is or not, and we're going to turn it over to Jim for a song in about 7 minutes. So if there's anyone else in that 7 minutes, this is the time.
Well, something that nobody said yet that has put out me along with many other things is that I really have found that I surely miss our church people. Do many of you feel that way? Even though I've enjoyed all your friendship, and if I see one of you, I'll probably run up to you like my long-lost cousin, because I'll be so excited. Our friendship has meant so much, and I've learned a lot of all the churches, too. But I really am anxious to see our people. I really have missed them, and I'm so thankful for all the people at home we have to help us in this that are going to be anxious to share.
Using my scripture memory again. I began about 2 years ago, and then I had a long siege of illness when I only lacked 5 scriptures to finish. And I got so discouraged. But that's one thing that I wanted the Lord to do for me while I was here. And so now I have about 15 left to finish the course. And I intend not to stop anymore. So I say it's better to learn one a week while you're sick and continue than it is to maybe stop, because it's sure you want to get started.
You've thought of it now. Okay. Go ahead.
That time to get oriented here. There's a couple of things that I'd like to share with you. First of all is that I found Glen Eyrie, especially I picked the room 203, to be a melting pot of personalities. Baptist and Reformed Baptist, Southern Baptist, Presbyterian, Mennonite Brethren, and I don't know what the other one was. But I never saw a group of fellows get together and be like this together. We've had such a tremendous fellowship. And I say this to everyone because I really feel it deep. Now, last year my wife and I and 2 boys came to, we had a 3-week vacation. We went camping, bought a tent to go camping. We stayed at State Parks. We came to Colorado Springs. looked over the town, was very much impressed, went out to Woodland Park here, came up the back road to the academy and stayed there 5 days. The weather was beautiful. It didn't rain for 5 days. After the day we left, it really poured. But we came by all the sights and things around and were really quite impressed. So coming here this year wasn't quite so hard. Coming to Glen Eyrie wasn't quite so hard. But we went past the garden and God's voice said, well, let's win there, Danny. Let's see what that's all about. Well, I said, no, boys, we don't have the money to win there. And here I come to learn this year, as I went through the garden, God doesn't cause sin. But it seems that the Lord really had something in it, because if I had come through, I'm sure that I would have ended up over here, out here, and have seen the Glen Eyrie entrance. Now there's this other thing too. The Born to Reproduce booklet full of Dawes' experiments with God. And how that he and his friend went to the mountains. Every morning they met at 5 o'clock. And for 2 hours straight, beginning no later than 5 o'clock, they would pray. For 6 weeks, this went on. Well, that inspired me for self-discipline. And I did it for 7 weeks. This beginning in February through March. In Pennsylvania, we have snow and the weather gets pretty cold, so I had to stay in my study and do this. But I disciplined myself to it, sometimes no more than 3 hours. Somebody has said that the church contains two kinds of people. There are the pillars and then there are the caterpillars, there are the pillars who hold the church up so that it goes on. And then there are the caterpillars who crawl in and crawl out. I think this is not their fault. In all sincerity tonight, it's not their fault. I'm speaking from the viewpoint of a pastor. I've had this experience for 9 years. We pastors are at fault. Principally, I suppose, because we just don't know how. And then we blame our people because they don't do it. And they don't know how. It takes a disciplined life. And I thank God that this is the start.
All right, Jim. Oh, excuse me, just a minute. One more.
First, we had heard of Natalie Energy just 1 month ago. First, we heard of Glen Eyrie or any part of it. And I came here not really knowing exactly what to expect. And all the things that had crowded into my heart and into my mind have just been overwhelming. And it just seems to me like, well, it just, well, I don't know, I can't express how I feel. It just seems as though we just can't contain it all and understand how to go about it all. But the Lord has given me this assurance that if I start with myself, if I discipline my own life and start with my real discipline, as far as my daily time with the Lord, that he can show me how to go about these other things. And I'm praying that you'll pray for me, for us, that we'll be able to apply this. I'm convinced that it's the thing that we need in our own lives and in our churches. And I hope that the Lord will be able to use this in it. I feel a real need for it in my own life. And I'm determined within myself that it's going to work, that I'm going to discipline myself, and that I'm going to apply it to my own life first.
All right, Jim.